Haven Church. Good morning.
See who comes in an hour late today, right?
Nah, man. We got smartphones now. They're smarter than us. When's the last time you guys set a clock besides one on your wall?
They're still asleep.
So. I know.
All right, let's get on up. Let's worship the Lord. Here we go.
You are God. would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, and I won't be shaken, and I won't be shaken. Come on. My fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Oh, and shame no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to the light. And I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. And I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
There's power that can break off every chain. Yeah. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. Power in your name,
power in your name.
There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name.
Chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Oh, my fear.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, and I am standing on the rock.
out. My friend standing on the rock. Oh, I am
standing on your rock.
Oh, and I
am standing on the rock.
And Lord God, we come here and we just thank you that we can be in your presence once again. We just ask that your Holy Spirit just move in this room as we continue to worship and glorify your name, as now we receive your tithe and our offerings. And God, I just ask that we just stand and worship you still in the midst of that. And God, we're giving back to you as a portion of all the many gifts you give to us. So we give you praise for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.
Perfect embrace. I am undeserved.
Thank you, God, once again for your presence. We love you, and may this time just be dedicated to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to ask that our children can head on to our Haven Kids Sunday School Ministry, and everyone else just say hello to each other. Good morning, everyone. Everybody feel good losing that hour of sleep? Okay, all right. All right, so we'll get it this afternoon, right? I want to welcome everyone here. Have several announcements I want to touch on. I challenge you to make sure you take this home and you look at it later. Number one, we want to welcome all visitors, and we're glad that our visitors are here. Please check the information about Parish Foundation, which is next week, St. Patrick's Day. Chris is a week early here. He's all dressed up for St. Patrick's Day. And you guys can next week. Today, you will pick up your subs for the youth sub sale. So you want to make sure you do that. They're available after church for pickup. So make sure you get them. Whatever's left over, I take and I eat, and you pay for it. Women's group. You can see that they asked him to join at 6:30 right here at Haven. And it is they're beginning a new study, and it's going to be the best yes. So if you... You have some information if you want to contact that. Again, we always mention Grief Share and ask that you want to continue to be with that on Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Women Helping Women on March at Haven at March 22nd at 6:30. You can join the women for appetizers and a craft project, and they'll be making some cosmetic pouches along with some other things for our sisters in Haiti. So if you want more information, please connect there. I'm going to talk about another one in a little bit. But if you want to join our host team, we kind of give those announcements regularly. If you want to join our host team, please go ahead and connect. They greet people and are there and help with parking and other kinds of things. And then we're updating our church database, and you can also click there as well. Good to see. I see Terry today. Hi, Terry. You're babyless, right? Yeah, everybody comes up to look for the babies, and they're not here, and they're like, oh, it's just Terry, right? So that's what happens. That's what happens. Just, it never changes, just to let you know. But we're glad that babies are safe, and Terry's doing well, and we're glad to have you back with us today. Also, as part of our ongoing mission, one of the things at Haven we do, Haven is a church that gives more in mission than any church I know. Whether it's globally, locally, or nationally, we're amazing. You guys need to be thrilled with that. So sometimes I've been part of churches that they want to, the first thing they want to cut is missions budget. And that's something that we do above and beyond. And so I'm thrilled for that ministry. And the Kiefers are here with us today, right? There they are. They can raise their hand. And God led them into a mission with Miriam's table. And I think Miriam, she head out.
Jesus in Sunday school. So, but I want to show you something. We are going to support them, and so I want to, as we have. And so, what I'd like you to do is just watch this video real quickly, and then we'll talk very briefly about it.
Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Beside these living waters, Christ is calling, find refreshing at the cross of living water. Lay your life down, all the old gone, rise up in these living waters. There's a
Right. So when was the first time you went to the Democratic Republic? 2010. So you can see what God has done just with one heart, with other people, that really has changed the area there. And so one of the things that we've been doing for the last several years is as you head out today, right before you leave, there are what I always called love loaves back in the day, but some people call them bread boxes, whatever. They're like a bank that looks like a bread loaf. And what we're just asking is if we go ahead and you want to take one of those and fill it up. You can fill it up with change. You can fill it up with money. You can put your paycheck in there. I don't care. God will take care, right? If you really want to put God to test, go for it. But seriously, you can see the difference that that's made. And a lot of times some people wonder, why are we helping elsewhere? Why don't we just take care of our own? Because these are our own. And if you're in the body of Christ, we need to recognize that. As I read, at the end of it all, there is no countries. There is no division. We're all one in Christ. Amen? So if that's who we are, then we need to get our eyes off of here and there and recognize that we are all in the body of Christ. And if we have a difference of opinion, I can understand where you're coming from, but in some ways, but ultimately, you got to deal with God about that, right? Because we are the body of Christ. So, and the scripture says we can do it exceedingly more than whatever we think or can imagine in the name of Jesus. So I know Susie didn't, and you guys didn't set out to go ahead and say, oh, here we go, and we're going to go here, we're going to help this area, we're going to adopt a daughter, we're going to have all this stuff. I know they didn't say that, but God made a way. Just the same way that we didn't think about that we would be in partnership with our brothers and sisters in Haiti. God is bigger than all this, or even the stuff here. All right, so just take one of those, and if you could fill them out, that would be awesome, and that would be great. And we will collect them. The collection date is March 24th, okay? So we ask that you go ahead and pray about that as well. All right? We do have some prayer requests. Prayer for Ron and his family, for God knows the needs. Linda and Jane have a thank you for Amy's new job. Judy asks for prayers for Ginny McGall. Her back is not healing, and she has a horrible cold, so she's been dealing with that. Roger and Michelle have asked for prayers for Steve Thomas, who lost his wife this week. Michelle Thomas was only 38 years old. So please pray for their sons, Stephen Jr. and Jared. They are 19 and 15. They also asked for prayers for their daughter, Becca, as she's heading back to Kenya and Africa for the fourth time. So a fourth time leaving for the Saturday. I want to continue to lead them in prayers. For the Steckers, Mike Stecker, after attending Emmaus this week, right? Okay, so we want to pray for him and others who are going there. Who else is going? Tom Breckner. We want to pray for Tom as well. And Sandy Frederick asked for prayers for her husband Dale. He's having open heart surgery on this Tuesday. And you guys remember Dale? Dale kept us in line over at the middle school, if you've been around here for a while. And you got, just talk about another mission. When his mother's house got a fire, this church was very giving. So I want to thank you for that. But we want to lift Dale in your prayers. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for all the ministry and the calling that you've entrusted to your people in your church. And God, as we continue in this service, we ask for prayers on those who are traveling, particularly those who are traveling in mission, and others from our own church who are walking in the Holy Land just as we speak right now. For those who are dealing with sickness and loss, for those who are celebrating new jobs and new births and all kinds of celebrations, God, we just rejoice with them. And Lord, most of all, we just ask for your presence to be upon us, that no matter what is going on in our lives or in our world, that God, we know that you are very present and that you are there to really guide and strengthen your church. For this is all about you. It's not about either one of us. And for this and all things, we give you praise as this rest of this time is totally dedicated. God, meet us here. Speak to us your words, and we rejoice in your name. In Christ's name, we all pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is Song of Songs, 7:1. How beautiful your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hands. And also Song of Songs, 7:11-12. Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded. If their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom, there I will give you my love.
All right, we've made it. Here we are. the last week of the Song of Solomon series. So several of you have been through all this with me. And I think, Wes, you got to start off with that great theme verse, but we'll talk about that in a second. But before I get rolling, again, I do want to mention that we do have the insert for Miriam's table in your bulletin if you need more information. But also, I want to talk about our next series, which is going to lead us all the way up to Easter, including Good Friday. And here it is right here. It's called Famous Last Words. So it'll be called Famous Last Words, and we're going to be focusing on some of the last words of Christ upon the cross. Some of you may have heard sermons about that for years, but I really think it's a good way to get us to that Easter point. And there'll be you can see that this series is going to lead us up, yes, to Easter. So we're heading toward April, and right after that is May, and that means summer, right? So we're excited about those kind of things. So I challenge you to join us for that whole series as we begin. Again, we are in the last week of our love song series. And one of the big challenges in this message series is the fact that there's a lot of imagery in here. And hopefully I've done the best job that I could to unpack that. But they're using a lot of allegories about things that they knew. And so, like, for instance, he talked about your hair being a flock of goats on Mount Gilead. Remember that? That kind of stuff. Now, that's something that means something to him. So I started to think this week, what if Solomon lived in 2019 Cecil County? And so I decided to go ahead and show you what I call the HCC, the Haven Community Church version, if it was now today. So here we go. Let's look at this. Okay, how beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are like the illuminated scratch-free screens of the iPhone XR. All right? Let's look at the next one. Your hair is like gravy flowing down a mountain of Cracker Barrel mashed potatoes. Right? You guys understand that. That looks good, right? Here we go. Your teeth are like brand new Rawlings baseballs freshly bought at Olympia Sports in Northeast Plaza. Each has his twin and none of them alone. Next one, here we go. Your lips are like the scarlet fenders of a Tesla Model S. Your mouth is lovely. Next. Your temples behind your veil are like two chunks of Rapa Scrapple. There we go, all right? Your neck is like the Philadelphia Eagles 2018 Super Bowl trophy, tall and strong and the envy of all other sorry NFL teams. Your breasts are like two extra-large cheese pizzas from Frank's, served carefully on metal pedestal trays. Until the day breaks, the shadows flee, and I will go to the mountain of Bath and Body Works and the hill of essential oils. There we go. You get it? All right. Who says you can't have fun in church, right? Somebody just wants to go buy Frank's Pizza now, right? Mm-hmm. I just made sales. Okay. All right. So we've had some fun in the series, right? We've had some fun at this, and it's been good. And hopefully the main thing is that we've been able to bring us closer to God and bring us closer in our relationships. That's the ultimate goal of this whole thing. And so today we're going to talk about making it last, how to make it last. And we're going to go to our theme verse, our real theme verse today. That was read, I think it was the original one that Wes read for us. It's from Song of Songs, because remember, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And he said, this is the best of the best. This is the best of the best. This is the Song of Songs. And so it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. He continues, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. In other words, that fragrance. Have you ever been in a room where somebody may have a little too much perfume on? You know? You ever been where it's just right and it kind of smells perfect? That's what she's saying about it. She's saying it just fills the room and your name is just esteemed. And she says, and this is the one that we love, no wonder everybody loves you, but you're my man and they can't have you. Right? So that's awesome here. So again, we have a couple different people speaking in this. We have Solomon, who is here. We have the Shulamite woman, who is his wife. We've had the daughters of Jerusalem, who are her friends. And today we'll have some others that'll speak, and we'll update you in who they are and what they do. And so ultimately, some of the themes of this is what we need to know is for relationships to work, it takes work. right? Relationships, like, you don't just get in relationships and then they just work. Like, for instance, if you think about your very first friend in kindergarten, how many of you are still best friends with that friend in kindergarten? Some of you are, okay? Very few. But reason why is, how many of you haven't talked to them probably since a little bit after kindergarten? How many maybe in a couple years? Okay? One of the things is they're not as deep as they once were when you were coloring and going to show and tell, because you haven't spent time to work on those relationships. And it's the same thing as we look here. The challenge in marriage and relationships, what I often find is that there's several times things about our intentions and our actions. Like, how many of you have ever intended to do something great? You ever intended to do something that was awesome, but the action of it turned out a little bit negative? Now, I know I've done that a billion times in my life, particularly in my marriage, that I may have thought, hey, this is a great gift, and you give it to somebody. It's like you give somebody a gym membership. You know what I mean? And that you may like that, but that you start going, what are you saying? I mean, I got a little bit more. Or you give them a gift. Hey, guess what? I got you a gift to Weight Watchers. You know, like, that's not going to go well for you. Your action, your intention may have been good, but the action may have been bad. And so often what I find out is we often judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. Am I right? So we're like, well, I don't know why you're offended, because I intended to do something, but then we hold other people accountable for their actions. And so in this last week, in order to make this relationship and love last, the goal of this week is to close the gap between intentions and actions, and to bring an intimacy and a closeness that occurs in here. So what I'm going to share with you in these ways this week are some of the most simplistic things to bring lasting actions that will keep you making it last for the long haul. And they're easy to remember. And sometimes I think simplicity brings power to certain things. And so sometimes, you've ever heard of KISS, keep it simple, stupid? That's my motto in life, because the things that are simplest, the things I remember the most. Like, somehow in college I got a B+ in calculus. Don't you dare ask me how to do it now, because it was complicated and I got it and jumped through the hoop and forgot about it. And some people relate to marriage and relationships that way. Hey, I work really hard while I'm trying to get that and form that relationship, and then once I'm there, once I put the ring on my finger, okay, I'm good. But that's not how relationships work here. So let's look at this. So as we're looking at these lasting actions, here's the first one. If you think something good, say it. If you think something good, say it. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Of life and death. So if you want a life-giving marriage, speak life-giving words. If you want a dying marriage, speak dying and cutting words. This is what happens. Criticism brings poison to a relationship. So every time, here's what I want you to do. Every time you think something good about your spouse or about somebody else that you're in relationship with, bless them with what you're thinking. No matter how much you think, we don't read each other's minds, do we? Like, there's been moments where I've just gotten up and I am just in a bad mood because I woke up that day. Anybody with me? Like, the alarm clock went off, the world is spinning off its axis, and I don't know, somehow I just got up wrong. I stepped on a Lego or something like that, right? And you're just aggravated. And for years, I kind of just, and sometimes I still do, I just kind of shut down. And I'm just nasty and angry about everything, right? Okay? My family's being good. They're not going to talk about it. But I do it. I do it a lot of times. And I leave them. They don't know what's in my head. You don't know what's in my head, and be glad and thank God for that, right? But they don't know what's in my head. And by not knowing what's in my head, often you see when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you keep that in, or when you're just sharp, you think, what did I do? Am I right? If somebody's acting that way towards you. Sometimes you just need to get up and say, I'm having a bad day. and you've expressed that has nothing to do with you. I'm just cranky. And they say, okay, go be in your mess somewhere else. Enjoy today. I'm going to have fun. But the opposite is true. If you think something good and all someone hears is the negative, why didn't you do this? How come you didn't? I thought you were going to. If you didn't, I thought we were boom, boom, boom. If all you hear is negative, then you are sucking the life out of your relationship. And this is what happens time and time again. And so in these chapters that we're looking at here, Song of Songs, chapter 7 and 8, this is years later. We had them, remember, we had their attraction phase and we had their dating phase. They got married and then we had their honeymoon night, which honeymoon, as I shared last week, means a sweet month. And it actually is about 29 days, the cycle of the moon. And anybody who's been married knows sometimes that's about how long it lasts in perfectness, right? For those 29 days. And so then they had their first fight. Remember, out of 8 chapters, 2 are devoted to them fighting. Okay? And we talked last week how to have conflict well. And so now they're getting advanced, and they're kind of looking back, and they're looking at each other. And Solomon, throughout this whole thing, is kind of like the master of smooth for then. Right? He's kind of like a little bit smooth in here, even though sometimes some of us may think he's a little bit cheesy. She likes it. And so as we look in this, he says he's the master of saying something good to her. Remember, she started by saying, my body is not good because I had to work outside. My skin is worn. And he says, no, you're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. And he started to say these things over and over again. And so let's look at something interesting. He's a little creative here. Not much. He kind of goes back to the things that always work. But he throws something different here. If we go back previous weeks, remember, he started with compliments the week of their honeymoon. He started from the top down. Remember? Your hair, your eyes, your does, your fawns, and all that stuff. Remember that? Okay. So here we go. If you missed it, look it up. Okay. So here's what he says. This week, look what he does. Look right here. How beautiful your sandaled feet, O prince daughter. He's starting where? At the bottom. And he's lying because there's nothing more disgusting than feet. They're gross. I think we should have little casters on the bottom of us if I was God. But we don't. So he starts there. He says, your sandaled feet, O prince's daughter, how beautiful they are. Your graceful legs are like jewels, the work of an artist's hand. And I always kind of get that image from A Christmas Story with a leg lamp. Like he's like, you remember the little kid? Okay, that's what I kind of get that image of here. Forgive me, it's in the Bible. And then what does he say? He says, your navel is like a rounded goblet that never lacks blended wine. I have no clue what he's saying there, whether she's got a big navel or what. I don't know. It's Solomon. It's working, all right? I would be careful using that one. And this next one, your waist is like is a mound of wheat encircled by lilies. Stop. Do never say to your wife, your waist is a mound of anything. You're going to be in deep, deep trouble. Don't follow Solomon there. And then we know he goes back to the fawns. Here he is. Your breasts are like two fawns. Like the twin fawns of a gazelle. That seems to be his favorite line he goes to and seems to work for that. And he's happy that there are two of them there, all right? He compliments by, you know, and we have compliments that we have in our own nature. Like, for instance, we may be, like, texting or talking, say, love you, love you. Oh, I love you, I love you. Hey, love you, honey. Pookie Bear, love you. Oh, Sweet Cheeks, love you. That kind of stuff. We may have those little names, love you, love you, love you. And something that I just kind of, in studying this week, just started thinking about and I wanted to do, and it's something that I want to make a practice in my life. We're good at saying, I love you, 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 and it's kind of like there. But I want you to get some more power to that statement, right? Here's how I want you to get more power to the statement. I want you to add one word. I love you because, and then tell them and fill in the blank, all right? Because number one, it helps you step back and begin to recognize why you love that person, and also helps you to be able to express something positive that you've been thinking, but you kept down in here. All right? And you may have had one of those arguments that we talked about last week, but I think the one reason, as we see in the conflict, they all went back to, I love you because. So try that. And try that not just this week, but the rest of your life. Send a little text. Give a phone call. Just send an email if you have to. Facebook message. Post it out there. Make people think that somebody hacked into their account. Put this. They say, I love you because you're my best friend. I love you because I love to spend more time with you than anybody else on earth. I love you because you're a great dad or a mom. I love you because you look better than the day I first saw you. I love you because you love me. You can be creative with it. You know why, am I right? So they don't know why. So take some time and tell them. Look at what he says here in several times. Because look at what it says. He says this. He says, your head crowns you like Mount Carmel. Your hair is like a royal tapestry. The king is held captive by its tresses. Your stature is like that of the palm. Let's stop there. Look what he says. He says here, he's again going, you know, like anybody ever sent a text and it just kind of is out there and you wait for it to come back? You're looking for it. You're like, hello? Am I here? Hello? Like you said something nice and it just stays out there. Like or like people say you left me open. Like people, kids get aggravated. You left me open on Snapchat. How dare you leave me open, right? Right, kids, leave me open on my snaps. All right, but like, have you ever sent something to somebody? Like I don't know how my kids always have their phones with them, but when I send something to them or call them, they rarely respond. Anybody notice how that happens? There's some like parental wall that exists there, I think. But you know, when you send something and there's somebody's supposed to be somewhere, don't you get a little bit, what's going on? So we need to go ahead and acknowledge that. Gives us a way to acknowledge how we feel. He's saying, man, Mount Carmel, you look just lovely. And he's telling her the things that he loves about her. He loves when, and what he's saying again, he's going back to that kind of honeymoon. Remember when she took her hair out? He's once again saying, and look what he says. He says, the king is held captive by it. This word actually means that you are a bound prisoner. He is a bound prisoner. When she takes that hair down, he's like, I'm going nowhere. Go, baby. Right? Huh. Whew, I'm done. He's done when that happens. And then, yes, here he goes back. Now, be careful with this verse. He says, this is in the Bible, your stature is like that of the palm tree, and your breasts are like clusters of fruit. And here he goes. Yes, this is in the Bible. I said, I will climb that palm tree and take hold of its fruit. Now, I want to warn you here, men, because depending upon the mood, you may lose a hand, all right? But, hey, it's in the Bible. This is in the Bible. This is definitely in the Bible, okay? We'll move on from there. So look at what she responds now. So he again, is talking a lot here once again, but look what he says. What she says. She says, I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me. His desire is for me. And the word here is this word called Teshuka. Everybody say Teshuka. Teshuka. All right. So what it's saying is, it's the equivalent of like an animal consuming another animal. It's like, have you ever watched National Geographic? And you have like the guy talking like this, and as you see, here comes the lion. And the lion is coming up on the antelope. Oh, and it's got it, you know, and like, ah, like that. Like that. That is the word that is used here. Teshuka. That is the desire. And so she's like, she goes, that's my beloved, and he teshukas me, right? So use that one later, all right? Teshukas me. And so what she knows about that because of what he said to her, right? Keep that in mind. He has said things to her, and she knows. She started this all out by saying, I'm not pretty. I'm not good. Nobody wants anything that I have. I'm not appealing. I don't look good to myself. I can't look good to anybody else. And now she says with confidence, she says, he teshukas me. Nobody else may, but he does. She's cherished and honored because he told her. Don't think that there, if you don't just think good things, you tell them good things. You might want to encourage them to see and hear. So that's the first one. If you think something good, say it. The second one is this. If you think something special, do it. And so here I want to break this down into two different special acts. The one is, points of time, purposeful time. Purposeful time. This is one of those times where you think about something in advance and you make plans and time to do it. And this is what she does here in Song of Songs 7, 11 through 12. She says to him, now imagine you get a text, and this is what it is. She says, come, my beloved, Let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded and if their blossoms have opened. So what they're doing, they're making plans to spend some time together away from the kingdom, away from the vineyards, away from the children, away from family, just together. And so here's the challenge I want to give to you, married couples. It's simply this. At least once a year, get away together. At least once a year, go. Go. Maybe for a night or whatever. And I know right now people are, what usually happens is people make every excuse about why they can't do it. And you may say, I can't afford to do it. I'm going to tell you, your marriage cannot afford not to do it. You need that time away together. You need that time away together. Some of my greatest memories in our marriage, yes, are with the children and other kinds of things, but some of our greatest times together that Melissa and I have had is when we just go ahead and we go somewhere. And kind of when we're together, we kind of get a little crazy, like Amazing Race. And like, so we are like, anybody ever seen that show? And we kind of like, we get in taxis we've never gotten in. We go to places we've never been. And it's just kind of fun. And we just kind of go to a place and figure it out. You know, like we're not one of those people. We would drive you crazy if you have an itinerary before you leave. Sorry, you would go nuts. But we are those people, like, we're like, hey, you want to go here? No, let's go here. And we're like, okay, let's try that. You want to eat this? Yeah, let's try to eat that. And we just have fun and we spend time together. And what happens in that point is a couple things. Number one, we get to reconnect and we get to look at each other, right? We get to reintroduce ourselves to each other because our lives are so stinking hectic. Anybody relate to this? That we are living this thing called life on this merry-go-round, working, going to kids' events, doing church things, doing this, doing that. And we are constantly doing this. That life, if we say, hey, let's use this, if we don't plan that out, it will never happen. And what you do is you tend to just exist apart from each other. And so you need those moments in life to reconnect. So I challenge you to do that, to get away. We used to go to New York City a lot, and we would go for her birthday. Her birthday is January 23rd. Just to let you know, we have been in some of the coldest weather ever in New York City, and we've walked all around. We've eaten all kinds of good food. Thank God for those Irish places that you eat. I love those places. We've gotten on David Letterman in the front row. I told you about that before. We've done lots of different things. But the main thing is we walked around and around and around. We got warm in St. Patrick's Cathedral because it's freezing. We've done all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't like we like, oh, let's go see New York City. It's not about New York City. It's not about the corned beef sandwich, which is really good. It's not about that, Reuben. What it's about is that we have time to spend together, right? And not one thing that we do in this world is going with us. That is so important. And so some of you need to say no. Everybody, let's try that right now. One, two, three. No. See, you can do it. Some of you need to say no to some things that you think are very important. And some of you need to say yes.
Yes.
That was weaker.
Yes.
Okay. To purposeful time. Okay. We need to do that. Look, she says, hey, I went ahead, let's go spend some time together. And then look what she says here. She continues, and she says, and she said, she talked about the blossoms and bloom. Let's see if they budded. The vines are budded, and the blossoms have opened. And if the pomegranates are bloom, here's her promise to him. She sent him a love note here. And if the pomegranates are in bloom, I'm going to give you some loving. He's like, oh, please, let those pomegranates be in bloom. Hallelujah. Solomon's like, I am ready to go. Right? That's what she's saying. She's making that time. Making that time. She knows he teshukas her. And she's responding and saying, oh, honey, I teshuka you too. And you better hope those pomegranates are in bloom. All right? Plan time. So now she knows she's valuable. Now he knows he's valuable to her. That's the first one, purposeful time. Next one is thoughtful acts. If you think it, do it. Look at what it says here. The mandrakes send out their fragrance. It's her again. The mandrakes send out their fragrance. And at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my beloved. Here we go. Remember raisins a couple weeks ago? What were raisins? an aphrodisiac. That's what they believed. They believed the same thing about mandrakes, and they were also believed to be associated with fertility. So she says, I've been thinking ahead. So I got the mandrakes here. I got some good food. We're going on a picnic. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. And so she's thinking about thoughtful things. Now, here's what's interesting. If consistently, if you look at things, remember that book, Men Are From Mars and Women From Venus? Okay, it may be Pluto and Mercury, right? Sometimes, right? It's just different thinking. So often when husbands think of thoughtful acts, they often think about buying stuff. Candy, flowers, those kind of things. And those are appreciated sometimes. But when you ask women about the things that are the most thoughtful acts that attract them to their husband, you find out that consistently it's like they're very attracted when you fold clothes. I'm not joking. When you do the dishes, when you get or hang out or play with the kids, when you clean the house and make the beds, when you mop, when you do things that show you care. Right, ladies? Okay, see? So guys are like, oh, man, it's much easier to buy stuff, right? So, but they expect that too, all right? So you got to buy some stuff, and you got to clean up some stuff, okay? So, but that makes you, and she will be like, I tashuka him when he is doing them dishes, all right? So put that in your mind. And one of the coolest things is, and the other thing that you need to know in your relationship is you need to know your spouse's love language. And the 5 love languages online, you can take the test really well. I can guarantee you your love languages are completely different, all right? All I need is an attaboy. I'm good for life, right? That's where I am. Melissa's not that way. We're different in those relationships, and we need to know that. And what happens is, since I'm not naturally geared for her love language that I need, that I have to work and commit. Remember I said that relationships, in order for them to work, it takes work. You may have to do things that you naturally don't feel like you just need to do. You may need to do that. If you don't need an attaboy for life and hey, you're awesome, you can go through life without anybody saying anything to you. But if you need the power of touch, and you may not, and the other person may not need that, you may need to go ahead and say, hey, I need to touch. I need to know that you're in a mile vicinity of me. All right? Those are important things that we do. Do something you don't value because you value them. And I love the fact that Melissa, over the years, has done stuff. She's going to sporting events. She could care less about sports. You know, on the other hand, I would, like, sit and watch it all my life and be fine. You could prop me up in you know, a chair at my funeral and put TV on. I'd be fine, right? So, but she'll do that, and she's done things like that because she values me. Not the thing I value, but she values me. And I hope that in my life I've done things that I didn't value as much just because I value her, and I hope she knows that. So if you think something good, you do what? You say it. If you think something special, you do it, all right? Last thing here, if you want something different, be it. If you want something different, be it. You be what's different. You be what's different. Look at her. Over the weeks, this woman, look at them, sorry. She said, week 1, I'm not going to be like those veiled women. I'm not going to be like any of the other veiled women who are out there just doing whatever they can to try to get somebody. I'm going to be different. He said, hey, let's catch those foxes so they don't ruin our vineyards and ruin our relationship. And then when they were in conflict, they both said, remember the theme was, respond and not react. Talk, don't walk. Don't assume bad, but think good. You see, women are multipliers, right? Often women are multipliers. Like, several times, like, you'll come in the house and you'll look in the cabinet and you'll go, we got nothing to eat. Anybody said that? We got nothing to eat. Melissa hears that daily from our whole family. All right, we've got nothing to eat. And then when it comes dinner time, there's a whole meal there. I don't know how she does it, right? You don't know how you do it. But you guys multiply things, right? You're good multipliers. You take what you have, you make it happen. And so here's the other thing to that. If you give them negativity, guess what they're going to multiply back at you? Right? Right? So if you're giving it, you're going to get it back tenfold here. It's the power of multiplication. And if you don't like what you're getting in life, stop for a second and ask yourself what you've been giving. Okay, I'm going to say that again. If you don't like what you're getting in life, back, stop and see what you've been giving in those areas. Because I'm going to tell you, this is a theme of everything. I can tell you, I've lived almost 48 years, and I can tell you, you cannot change one person in this world. You can't do it. You cannot change them, but you can change yourself. You can change how you respond to something. You can change out to who you are. There are so many complications in life. There are so many complications, and we don't need to belittle anyone anymore. And so what you say, well, you know what, I get it, Jack, but Jack, you don't know my situation. You know, and you're right, I don't, because there are so many complications to relationships. And I'm not one of those people that says that, that there's areas of abuse and other kinds of things that just tear marriages apart. I get it. I understand it. And I don't want to belittle that one bit, because those things are real. But I want you to make a commitment that maybe you never have. Maybe there's something about you that's been checked out, so your relationship is not as good as it once was. You know, there are times that, you know, and just to let you know, our relationship's not perfect. There's been times where I've stood up here to preach, and she ain't very happy with me. Right? Yeah, okay. There are today's not one of those days, so I'm good, right? Okay. All right. But there are those days where we're like trying to figure life out, and we haven't been happy. And I speak and I say, I remember I was telling you about conflict. I speak, I say things. She shuts down, which makes me say more things, and they ain't good usually, right? And so when that happens, and by the way, those of you who shut down, it infuriates us more. So keep it up if you want to tick us off. All right, that's what happens. But and we who keep running our mouth ticks them off more. So you have that dynamic, and there's been times where we just have not connected, and I got to stand up here and talk about the love of Christ and how awesome it is, and I certainly hope I don't have a sermon illustration about her that day, you know what I mean, or about family, because she's like, I hear you, Mr. Preacher Boy, right, you know, so she may be not happy with me, all right, and that's okay, because if you do last week make the commitment to deal with it, and you always make it an option that, hey, we're going to work through this, that we are together in this world. That, I mean, I give her over 24, right? 24 years, something like that, 23. She doesn't know. She don't care. She's not one of those people, like, thank God she doesn't know that. I don't know half my kids' birthdays, forgive me. All right, so, but I get the month, but after that, I'm kind of done. All right, so, but what was I talking about? Anyway, after all those years of marriage, I've given her probably 24 years of reasons to leave me. All right? But there's something in there that she loves about me. You know how like when you're first together, like those things that are different are little kind of intriguing and cute, and then when you're married to them, they become annoying because they reflect on you. And what you find out in life, the older you get, sometimes they're the cute things too. They can become back cute, right? And you don't despise the difference that you have. You see, because look at what she says here. She says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For your love is as strong as death. It's jealousy, unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. What's she saying here? She's saying like the seal means like an ownership. I want to be owned over your heart. And I want to be there. In old Judaism, in ancient Judaism, they would have a wedding, and it was when they would do sacrifice. And they would actually do sacrifice, and they would tear an animal apart. And the married couple would walk to it and throw it as a symbol of saying, we make a covenant that we will never be separated like this. Right? They don't do that now, but that's what that was. And so what do we learn? If we want to be different, we learn that lasting love is enduring. It's enduring. Now, you may have gone through situations, and you may have gone through, people may have gone through previous marriages and other kinds of things. Remember our rules to this? Our rules are don't point to somebody else and let the past be the past. Don't dig up what was buried yesterday, okay? Our God is a God of newness. And so he wants to go ahead and bring newness. It's about what you do from now on. Don't let the woundedness of the past keep you bound to a prisoner of something else. Look what else she says. She says, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. Is what he says. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. So he's saying, no matter what comes against us, you could give me all the wealth that you have. You could say, give me $10,000. I'll give you $10,000 for Melissa. And I'd say, no. You say, well, wait, let me give $10 billion. And I'd say, give me till the end of the day. No, I'm just joking, honey. Okay, just joking. They were tense. Did you feel it? They were tense there. So, but no, you could give me all the money in the world. And no, no way. Nothing even compares is what he's saying there. Nothing is worth her. And that's what he's saying here. That means that no job, that means no kids, because sometimes the kids get in the way. Amen? Amen? Okay, thank you. All right, and the storms of life, we'll get there. Anybody had any storms in your life? Anybody had that? You know, you stand up and say, for better, for worse, and you're only thinking for better, and that the worse seems to sometimes outweigh the better, right? You get hit by something and something else and something else, and you're like, this is not at the end of the fairy tale. And so you end up struggling in this area that you have there, unless you say, storms can come, but no way. We're going to be together. You know, the newlyweds know there's these storms. That the newlyweds don't think they're these storms, you know? They like, oh, it's going to be perfect. Next thing is, and a couple more, and then we're done today. Lasting love is persevering. Persevering. When the tough comes on, you take it on together. There's no need. You know, I was thinking about this. There's no need for commitment to be committed unless you aren't committed to something. Like if you have to commit yourself to something, it means you weren't committed. Get it? And so you may not be happy all the time. But for that time, as you work through that, it's going to be great. You know, sometimes I'd say some of you may like your job, but I dare say there's days that you go to it that you're like, I love this thing. Right? But you make that commitment to it because you know that it's going to be better. Or you hope that it's going to produce something better. You see, here's what it says here, where you have this chorus of friends, and they say, we have a little sister, and they're reflecting back, and this chorus of friends actually are her brothers. We don't know what happened. We believe that her dad passed away from this verse. But they say, they're reflecting back to when she was a pre-adolescent. They say, we have a little sister, and her breasts are not yet grown. What shall we do for her sister on the day she is spoken for? If she's a wall, we will build a tower of silver on her. If she is a door, we will enclose her with panels. What they say is this. They say that we are going to watch out for her. We are going to protect her. We are going to make sure that she is ready and that we can love her and support her so that when God has that person for her, that it's going to be an awesome relationship. And they're going to go from there. And remember back at the beginning, she was like saying, my skin's bad because my brothers threw me in the vineyard. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter in chapter 8, she stops and says, you know, you set me in a vineyard, and it just happened to be owned by somebody named Solomon. And if you hadn't put me there, I would never be his. And she says, thank you. You see, because what we learn is lasting love is protecting. It's protecting. It's protecting. Right? We need that love to be protecting. So how do we wrap up this series? Two quick things as our worship team comes up. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice we make every single day. Every single day, it's not a feeling. Love is when your kids vomit all over the place in the middle of the night and you have to clean it up. Love is when you sit there and you're holding their hand right when you're holding your spouse's hand when they're going through a procedure. That could change everything. Love is when you're patient with them when they come home irritable. Love is understanding when you have no clue why they're flipping out. Look at what Colossians says. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Notice it says put on love, because nobody's going to put it on you. You have to put it on yourself. I just have this image and this prayer that I hope that in this series, with everything that we've talked about, that there are husbands and wives who may have been struggling, that may have had some kind of disconnect, and they or may have just been abiding in the same household and more than roommates, that through the series, they go ahead and they get away to the countryside and they look at each other and they say, we got a lot of stuff to work out. But can we just start today with a fresh start? Because I still teshuka you, and I hope you teshuka me. Because ultimately, being loved gives us the capacity to love. It gives us the opportunity to share love. Because as it says in 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. We love because he loved us. We love those in the Democratic Republic of Congo because he first loved us. We love our brothers and sisters in Haiti because he first loved us. We love those in our own community who are hungry and addicted because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us, because being loved gives us the capacity to love. So if you think something good, say it. If you think something special, do it. If you want something different, be it. As she said, place me as a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for our love is strong as death. My prayer is that you have in all your relationships a love which is greater than something in this world. I'm overwhelmed to have an incredible wife that God has given to me, and I fail her all the time. And yet after saying this today, she tachukas me a lot more, right, honey? Be who God wants you to be. Be different. Stand out. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, here we are again. And I realize that in the sound of my voice and in this room and all around, that many of us are some different level and some area in our relationships, in our marriages. And some of us have been existing. Some of us need a complete resurrection of those relationships, and we've been existing. Some of us have lost each other, and some of us may have a closer relationship than we ever have. But God, wherever we are, with you, your way is just better. And so as we turn the corner and turn the page on this series, may it not just be something that we had a good series, may it be something that we put into practice. That this week when we say, I love you, that it'll follow up because, and we fill in the blank. That God, if we think something good, that we begin to say it. Think of something that we begin to do it, something good, we do it. So, Lord, if we want something different, let us be it. So we may be different and have the relationships that you called us to be. Those who are dating now, God, help us not just settle for something that's hanging around the field. Something that's just there, but God, let us have people in our lives who, like the brothers, just protect us and guide us to say, hey, we want to make sure that, you know, we're going to put you in a place where Solomon's going to be there and he's going to see you as his beloved. And so, Lord, at this time, as we come together, I pray that marriages and lives are being restored. I pray that, God, your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us. For those of us who are seeking you, that we may come to our first love. We love because you first loved us. And there's people here right now who don't know what love is. And they need you to reveal that to them. So, God, this is your time as we worship in this final song. Send your Holy Spirit fall as we worship you. In Christ's name, amen.
Are you hurting and broken within?
overwhelmed by the weight of your sin.
Jesus is calling.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well?
Jesus is calling.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait.
Jesus is calling.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born.
Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he standing here listening to this music, and we're not really thinking about, you know, what's coming up tomorrow, but, you know, just going to come together in song. There's one last part. Let's just sing a little bit. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Survived. You survived, and hopefully you grow in what God has called us to do. I know the Keepers will probably be out there, so you can go ahead and see them. Keep in mind, next week, we're going to begin our series Once again, famous last words. I'm excited about that series as it leads us up there. But yeah, just as we finished up today, I'll come to the altar. There are times in your life where you just kind of stop and you need God's kind of guidance. And this week, for some of you who've been around since the middle school days, it went out, and I have just some news that just kind of hit my heart pretty hard. Some of you remember Miguel Baez. Who was at the middle school. Miguel would give some great testimonies. He was a good guy. And Miguel died this week. And so it just kind of hit my heart in a way, and because he just had a big heart. And his viewing his services today. So I ask that you pray for his grown children and grandchildren and people who loved him. As I said, if you think something, say it. I just challenge everybody here to just really do that, because you never know that somebody may need to just hear that, okay? So I don't know who that's for, but just say that to somebody who just may need it today, all right? Make sure you get those bread banks out there, and may you have a great week in the love of God. Amen.